الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 20 questions about superstition answered by the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah The prayer of Attar's successor O Lord of the Prophet Whoever reads or listens to the 19-page booklet 20 questions about superstition answered by the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah. Protect them from superstition and suspicion and grant them and their parents forgiveness without accountability. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. The excellence of sending Salat upon the Prophet. One day, Abu Bakr al-Shibli al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh came to Shaykh Abu Bakr bin Mujahid rahmatullahi alayh, a great scholar of Baghdad. The Shaykh immediately stood, embraced him, kissed his forehead, and seated him next to himself with great honor. Those gathered there said, Sayyidi, until yesterday, you and the people of Baghdad said he was insane. Why do you show him so much honor today? The Shaykh replied, I did not do this without reason. Alhamdulillah, last night I beheld something astonishing in my dream. I saw Abu Bakr al-Shibli present himself before none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stood embraced him, kissed his forehead, and seated him next to himself. I asked, O Messenger of Allah, why has Shibli attained so much compassion from you? The Prophet wasallam, giving news of the unseen, then explained. He recites the following verse after every salah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ Translation from Kanzul Iman Surely there has come to you an exalted messenger from amongst you. Anxious is he by what you endure, deeply concerned for your well-being, especially gracious merciful to the believers. After this, he sends salat upon me. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Question. In our society, all sorts of bad omens are taken. For example, if a black cat passes in front, such and such will happen. If a crow calls, such and such will take place. If oil is spilt, such and such will unfold, etc. What does Islam say about this? Answer. Superstition is haram. Amongst non-Muslims, there are some who take an evil omen from a black cat. This is to the extent if one of them travels somewhere and a black cat crosses his path, he will stop his journey and return, thinking that if he were to continue his journey, some harm would befall him. Unfortunately, some Muslims have also started to take an evil omen from black cats due to living amongst such non-Muslims. If a superstitious thought assails one during a pious act, one should most certainly follow through with it and ignore the superstition. For example, if you are traveling in a group and a black cat crosses the path of every person multiple times, you should maintain your journey. Insha'Allah, you will gain great success. You can repel superstition in this manner. I was once traveling somewhere and a black cat came across my path. I continued the journey regardless. And by the grace of Allah, I am here before you today. So taking a bad omen from black cats is a belief of non-Muslims, whilst Superstition is haram in Islam. Question: how is it to consider the number 13 as misfortunate and take a bad omen from it? Also, how is it to consider the month of Safar to be misfortunate and refrain from holding marriages during it? Answer: nowadays, people consider the number 13 as misfortunate and are superstitious concerning it. Yet, the number 13 has immense grandeur, as the Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca for 13 years after proclaiming his prophethood, prior to gracing Medina with his pure presence. The number 13 is not bad in any way. Likewise, people consider the month of Safar to be misfortunate. What has taken hold of them? The marriage of Mawla Ali radiyallahu anhu and Lady Fatima radiyallahu anha took place in the month of Safar. On the other hand, these people avoid holding marriages in this month, labeling it as misfortunate. Yet the marriage of Mawla Ali and Lady Fatima took place in the sacred presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Consequently, one should arrange marriages in this month to shatter people's superstition. Misconceptions concerning the number 13. Many people take a bad omen from the number 13. They do not even write it, to the extent of omitting it on doors and seats. This is due to a lack of knowledge. This number has no bad connotations, but is in fact very blessed due to what it is associated with. Mawla Ali radiyallahu anhu was born on the 13th of Rajab. The number of companions radiyallahu anhum that participated in the Battle of Badr was 313. The final day of Tashriq is the 13th of Zulhijjah. As the Takbirat al-Tashriq are recited from the Fajr of the 9th of Zulhijjah until the Asr of the 13th. If a child is born to someone here on the 13th, will they cast away the newborn as it is a misfortunate date of birth? When all is said and done, the number 13 is very good. Question: some people are superstitious in the following manner. They say, if this dish is cooked in our home, someone will become ill or a calamity will strike. How can one explain to these people? Answer: taking bad omens has no place in Islam and is a sin, whereas taking good omens is established. Every nation, tribe, city and village has its own superstitions, which are all delusions and have no basis according to Islamic law. These superstitions have no basis, regardless of whatever they are. In the question, superstition relating to eating and drinking has been mentioned. Normally, superstition is found concerning various days, months, and other similar affairs, which is due to influence from non-Muslims. Question: every day, in the gallery of our home, two crows come with a metal wire and put together something. If someone attempts to remove them, they attack him and call loudly. This occurred once, and my mother fell ill afterwards. It happened again, and then my father became unwell. What is the reason for this? People are saying crows are satanic creatures and should not be moved. What should we do? Please provide a solution for this. Answer: the crow is not a satanic creature, yet it is referred to as farsiq in the nomenclature of Islamic law. In any case, Allah knows best whether your parents fell ill because of these crows or due to a coincidental ailment, or whether it was the psychological effect of thinking. These crows are here now. Somebody has performed magic upon us, due to which we have fallen ill, etc. Get hold of amulets from the stall set up under Dawat-e Islami's spiritual cures department and hang them up in your home as a solution for this issue. Both your parents and in fact all your family members should wear them also. May Allah grant you salvation from this predicament. Question: roosters call azan, but why do chickens not do so? Answer: the rooster calls azan upon seeing angels. When it does this, one should supplicate for Allah's grace and mercy. Chicken do not call azan, and if on occasion it does so, people have the wrong opinion that this chicken is bad luck, due to which people slaughter it. Neither should one have this thought, nor should one say this regarding chickens. They are in fact good creatures. Question: if a chicken begins to call azan, can its eggs and meat be consumed? Answer: it is perfectly permissible to consume the eggs and meat of a chicken which calls azan. Some people deem such a chicken to be misfortunate and slaughter it, whereas this is superstition, and it is impermissible to have this superstition as stipulated by Islamic law. There are many similar superstitions widespread amongst lay people. For example, considering the month of Safar or some specific date to be misfortunate, deeming the crossing of a black cat in front of oneself or the flickering of an eyelid as a cause of calamity, etc. These are all manifestations of superstition, which must be necessarily avoided. To attain detailed information concerning such false conjectures, refer to Dawat-e Islami's 127-page book, Bad Shuguni. Question: we have heard that the final Wednesday of Safar weighs heavily upon men. Is this correct? Answer: Na'udhu Billah. If you have heard such a thing, then you have heard falsehood. Neither the first nor the final Wednesday of Safar weigh heavily upon any person. There is no day, hour or moment in the month of Safar which is like this. Yet that time in which a person disobeys Allah is misfortunate for the person, and the time in which he performs an act of piety and obedience is one of prosperity. Question: I have heard from my teachers that scissors should not be used on Tuesdays. They should not be merrily opened and closed, nor used on clothing, as misfortune occurs due to this. Is this true? Answer: opening and closing scissors or cutting cloth on Tuesdays is not a cause of misfortune. Question: if someone's established affairs become ruined, people say, "Brother, your stars are in a state of rotation." Is it correct to say this? People also inform us whether stars come into a state of rotation. Answer: your stars are in a state of rotation. This is an idiom. Otherwise, stars are always rotating. They do not come to a standstill. It is also said, there is rotation over you. Sometimes periods of calamity and anxiety pass over a person, in which he begins to say, I used to put my hand to soil and it would become gold. Now if I touch gold, it turns to soil. In such situations, this figure of speech is mentioned. When a person is in a state of well-being, he falls prey to heedlessness. Then disaster strikes and he remembers Allah. In this way, hardship proves to be a blessing for many and a turning point in their lives. They become submissive to Allah and begin imploring him to remove their distress. Question: how is it to believe in positive and negative effects of stars? Answer: Nujum is the plural of Najm, and the word Najumi is derived from it. Unfortunately, pitiful people lacking in knowledge fall into the deceptions of these astrologers, whereas it is not permitted to even go to them, yet alone listen to their words. There is an excess of superstition attached to stars in our society. Question: do the stars have any effect on destiny? Answer: no. One should not think in this way. Never fall into the trap of these palmists, etc. Otherwise, you will be entrapped and prey to conjectures. Form the mindset that whatever Allah wills will come to pass. Question: how is it to take a good or bad omen from the flickering of an eyelid? Answer: it is permissible to take a good omen, whereas it is impermissible to take a bad omen from something. For example, it is impermissible to infer the occurrence of a calamity due to the flickering of one's left eyelid. Question: if something made of glass or a mirror breaks in the home, some people say some good news is about to arrive. Others say a calamity has been averted. Is there any reality to these words? Answer: neither do I know anything of this sort concerning the breaking of objects, nor have I read such things. I have not heard such from scholars, kathirahumullah, either. Many groundless things circulate amongst the public. Maybe this is one of them. Having said this, there is no harm in thinking upon the breakage of a glass object that perhaps a greater calamity was to happen, but has been averted by a minor mishap. Thinking in this way is to have good opinion of and hope in Allah. There is no problem in this. In general terms, there is always a greater calamity. Question: can the marriages of several people of the same family take place simultaneously? Some people consider this a cause of loss. Please guide us. Is it correct to think like this? Answer: there is no misfortune or loss in convening the marriages of siblings at the same time, whether they are 3 or 313. There is no consideration for superstition in Islam. It is merely from people's conjecture to deem three weddings together to be a cause of loss. The way weddings are held nowadays, with music and dancing, this is a cause of harm even in one wedding. So how much harm will there be in three such weddings? Remember, harm does not lie in weddings themselves, but due to the sins perpetrated in them. It is apparent that when sin-laden weddings take place, divine mercy will not descend. The doors of mercy are instead closed, which is a cause of loss. Question: is it true that cutting nails in a shop or place of trade is misfortune? Furthermore, can nails be cut at night? Answer: cutting nails is not a misfortune, but instead the enactment of a sunnah. If one cuts them with the intention of fulfilling a command of Islamic law, he will be rewarded. If cutting nails in a shop was a cause of misfortune, they would not be cut in the home either, due to potential misfortune occurring. Cutting nails is not a means of misfortune. It is a sunnah to cut them within 40 days. If more than 40 days have elapsed and the nails have not been cut, the person will be sinful. It is also permissible to cut one's nails at night. Many say cutting nails at night is forbidden, and this is not correct. Question: how is it for a person to hold the belief that if someone calls him from behind, such and such a matter of his will be ruined? Answer: holding such a mindset is superstition. It is necessary to repent from this. Question: my left eyelid is flickering. Please inform me of a prayer that will remedy this. Answer: some people take a bad omen from the flickering of the left eyelid. There is no such thing, and we will not pay attention to this line of thinking, and thereby remain mentally relaxed. Recite Ayatul Kursi after every salah, and when you reach the words وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا, place the fingers of both hands on your eyes and repeat these words 11 times. Then blow upon all your fingers and pass them over your eyes. If you have not memorized this verse, repeat Ya Nuru 11 times. Blow upon your fingers and pass them over your eyes. Similarly, the following litany is also beneficial for the eyes. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. So we remove your veil from you, so this day your sight is sharp. Recite this, blow on both hands and pass them over your eyes. Allah willing, your eyelid will stop flickering. Question: what happens when cats meow persistently? Answer: one should not take a bad omen from the crying or meowing of cats, thinking that some calamity will occur due to the crying of cats, and cancelling trips and business transactions for fear of loss due to this has no basis. Cats cry, people cry, and children cry too. Rather than taking a bad omen from this, one should learn a lesson. A book mentions that when children cry, one should recall the crying of the denizens of the hellfire. It appears that a child is crying out of helplessness. In the hellfire, people will cry helplessly. May Allah grant us His grace, so that we do not enter the fire and cry or wail therein. May Allah grant us ability to keep performing pious deeds, so we may spend our time in good instead of sinning. Question: please give some examples of taking good omens. Answer: taking good omens is permissible. One should take them, as this has been mentioned in hadith. For example, a good omen can be taken from, for example, a phone call from a righteous person in the morning, or meeting a pious person when exiting the home. Question: is there any effect of a lunar eclipse upon an expectant woman or her child? Answer: it is widely believed that if a woman uses scissors during a lunar eclipse, the child's lips will be cut, etc. Remember, Islamic law does not support such things. Sometimes a child is born with a cleft lip, and people say the child's mother used scissors during a lunar eclipse. There is no reality to this according to Islamic law. The questions posed to Amir of Ahlus Sunnah and his answers end here. Categories of omens. The definition of omen is to consider a particular object, person, act, sound, or time to be a portent of good or bad in your right. There are essentially two types, good and bad. The scholar Muhammad bin Ahmad Ansari al-Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in Tafsil al-Qurtubi, a good omen is when you take an indication about the act you intend to perform after hearing something about it. This applies when the thing you have heard is good. Yet, if it is bad, it is labelled an ill omen. Islamic law has commanded that a person should be happy taking a good omen and finish his task wholeheartedly. When he hears something evil, he should neither pay attention to it nor refrain from his action due to it. Imam Muhammad Effendi Al-Rumi Al-Birkili Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes in Al-Tariqatul Muhammadiyya, taking evil omens is impermissible, whereas taking good omens is recommended. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes, it is permissible to take good omens in Islam, but forbidden to take bad ones. Important clarification. Sometimes, even without intending, the thought of an evil omen appears in one's mind. A person will not be declared a sinner just by the thought of evil omens entering his heart. Declaring somebody deserving of punishment by the mere entry of a bad thought in the heart is to task a person beyond his capacity, which goes against the stipulations of Islamic law. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.